It's 2020, as if you've forgotten. In this day and age, how do you communicate with 75 people? In this Father's Day episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'll talk about that and tell some stories about my dad and what makes me think of him lately.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 79 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, a Father's Day episode, and I've got a couple of other things that I want to talk about, and one of them has to do with the bugs, but we'll get to that as we get into the Father's Day stuff, because there's something that reminds me about my dad every afternoon when I make my iced tea. But before I get to that, I want to talk about something that goes on here. As I've mentioned previously, I am the president of the condo association here, and there is, I believe, 77 units in our building. One of them is occupied by the guy who is the superintendent, who takes care of the maintenance and things like that. Just, of course, on the outside, if he walks into your place, that's on you, usually, unless there is a service that we offer, for example, in the springtime, once the air is turned on, we offer a filter replacement service where he goes in and changes the filters of all the air handlers. They're called fan coils in your unit, and there is a small fee. It's just a fee for the actual filters. This way, it ensures the items, obviously, are staying clean. And he does some other work. And like I said, he does some work on the side. One of the other buildings of the 77 is a big office building. I shouldn't say big. I'm not sure how many square feet it is, but it's set separately from the main building. And it is a round building. It was built in the 60s. So it kind of looks, kind of reminds me of one of those buildings from, if you watch the Spider-Man cartoon back in the day, kind of reminds me of something like that, though it doesn't glow like that. That building and that show did, and that's occupied by a business, and but all of the HVAC and water and electric is all tied through to all of them. So again, 77 units, and the main form of communication, which just drives me completely bonkers because it's not accessible, is hand delivering a piece of paper with whatever needs to be communicated to the residents. I'm not sure that the business will get the same. That may be an email to the guy. And I get it that some of the folks here are older and may not have an email account or a computer for that matter. But most folks here, even the older ones, have mobile devices that can accept text messages. And, you know, most text services, most cell services, you can email an SMS message, meaning like if your phone number is 1234567 89, it's usually 1234567 89 at something.yourcarrier.com. So to me, to send out a text message to say, hey, the water's going to be shut off tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and unfortunately, it happens fairly frequently. And by frequently, I mean, you know, maybe a couple of times a month. Some months we go without any. But it is just mind-boggling to me in 2020 that the way we are communicating is to print out 75 or 76 copies. I'm not sure the super needs to be made aware of when the water is getting shut off, for example, because, you know, the communication is usually with him and the plumber for the person who is, you know, for the unit that's getting the work done. So it happened yesterday. There was a water shutoff yesterday. I'm recording this actually the day it's released because my voice has been funny, and I apologize in advance if it cuts out. So we'll have to see how it goes. There was a message, you know, a piece of paper left on our door on Tuesday stating that the water was getting shut off. Now, because of the virus, when something is left on our door or at our door, usually we don't touch it. We put everything goes into what we call quarantine for a couple of days. We knew the water shutoff was coming. We had talked about it at our board meeting on Monday. Most water shutoffs come at 9 a.m. So we assume 9 a.m. I assume 9 a.m. And of course, you know what they say about assuming. Well, I rush to get ready. And typically, I usually wake up, you know, in the 8 o'clock hour, closer to 9, usually jump in the shower, you know, sometime between 9 and 9:30. Well, if the water's getting shut off at 9, I can't do that, obviously. So I get up a little after 8, quarter after 8 or whatever, and, you know, I'm slow to get ready. As I've mentioned, you know, psoriatic arthritis makes me very slow in the morning. Let's face it, I'm pretty slow all of the time. It's just very painful, and I move more deliberately in the morning. You know, it usually takes me a shower to help, you know, loosen my joints up enough to, you know, to get moving around. So I jump in the shower around 20 after 8, 8:30, and I'm rushing as I'm sitting there trying to soak in the heat of the shower to, you know, be able to move a little bit better, and asking Alexa every, you know, 5 or 6 minutes, you know, what time, asking her the time to make sure I'm out in time so that I can still brush my teeth once I'm done. And, you know, I get out and I'm brushing my teeth and it's a little past 9 and I turn the water on to rinse off my toothbrush and to rinse my mouth and the water's still on and now it's like 5 after 9 and I thought, man, that's unusual. And I am just in pain still because I didn't have a great shower because I rushed through and I'm, you know, tried to move quickly and, you know, again, it hurts. And as I get out of the shower and get out of the bathroom and I'm getting dressed, Liz comes down and she said, I said, the water's still on. And what do you think the story is? She said, yeah, I looked at the paper when I had a glove on from bringing something in from the car. She said, it's going off at 10. And I was so mad because I was up later than normal the night before to get some stuff done because that's when I, as I've mentioned before, get most of my best work done when it's quiet and nobody's texting me and nobody's calling me. And, you know, I was in the middle of something and I hate to stop when I'm in the middle because it takes me so long to get back in. And that's, and for the most part, that is a visual thing because I can't see. And once I get into something and I'm reading maybe a different page, I've been working on some affiliate, websites and doing some research into things like that. And I had just gotten comfortable with using one of the tools I'm using. So I didn't want to, I was afraid, you know, if I go to bed, I'm not going to remember. And I figured I'd get it all done. So, you know, so I was very, very cranky and achy yesterday because I didn't have my, proper shower. And it just, as I sat there and when Liz told me it was 10 and I was mad at that, the water never went off. It didn't go off until about 11 or 11:15. But I sent a message to the, as soon as I came out of the shower and got dressed, I sent a message to the office manager. I said, look, we got to start sending these notices electronically. I would have known because otherwise I have to rely on somebody else in the apartment to read it to me. And not just this one, there's been times in the past where Jacob has come in and put the, you know, there was something in the door, so he put it on the table. Well, it gets put on the table. There's, you know, there's other papers on the table. I don't know that there's something new there. So again, it's not accessible to me. And I, you know, so I was going back and forth with the office manager. I sent her an email and then I went down to talk to her because she said, well, it would be hard to do it because some people don't have any way of getting anything electronically. I said, you know, when I talked to her, I said, look, most people have a mobile device. Even if you can't send an SMS blast, you can send emails to those mobile devices that they receive as an SMS message. It doesn't have to be long. Water shut off tomorrow at 10 a.m. That's all. And, you know, she said, well, it doesn't cost much to send the paper. I said, no, it doesn't cost much as long as you have someone to volunteer to deliver it. And usually one of the other board members will take them and do that. You know, that's fine because we're unpaid. But if she has to do it, you know, I don't remember what she makes an hour, and I wouldn't say if I did remember, but then you're talking about, you know, 15 minutes, half an hour, depends. You know, if people see her out and about, they might ask her questions about things, and now all of a sudden, instead of a 15-minute or 20-minute thing, you know, there's five floors and some floors have 15 units, some have 16. So, you know, it just is ridiculous to me in this day and age to be communicating that way. And I get it that some people might not have it, but I would bet that everybody in here has a mobile phone that can receive a text message. So that's my rant on that. It is just mind-boggling to me. And I was so angry. It made me so angry all day. The combination of, again, I was cranky because I was in, I didn't feel well. You know, my hands and my right wrist looks like there's a half a golf ball in it. Actually, right now it's the same. So, you know, it's like the lion with the thorn in its ball. You know, it doesn't make things anything, you know, happen, that, you know, joyful, even if it is something that should be. So, it's just been bothering me. It still bothers me because they're just, and believe me, once things settle down here with some other things that I'm doing, I'm going to call around to other communities to see what they do. You know, how do you communicate with your 75 units or 100 units or, you know, there's another one in Swarthmore that has probably more units. I don't know how many, but I just couldn't imagine somebody there walking a paper around and delivering that when the water is going to get shut off or some sort of work is going to be done or, you know, here's the minutes from the meeting. Just seems silly. And, you know, never mind the waste of paper and the waste of toner to do all that. You know, it's 2020. Let's, let's get with that. But that's my rant on that. And I just had to mention, if you have any input on that, I'd really like to hear your opinion. You know, maybe I'm crazy. You know, let me know. 646-926-6350. You can tell me I'm crazy. It's okay. You can tell me I'm ugly. You can tell me I'm great looking, whatever. You can tell me I'm bald, but I already know that. I kind of know that I'm, that I'm ugly too. But today's main topic was, is Father's Day. Father's Day in the U.S. is on Sunday, the 21st. And actually yesterday was the 8th anniversary of Father's Day without my dad. He passed away in, 2012 on the 11th of June. And, on the 17th, later that week, that was a Monday, the following Sunday was Father's Day. So, you know, I was thinking about it a lot yesterday and I've been thinking about him a lot and actually both my folks, and I've mentioned it over the, you know, previous few episodes with all the stuff going on between the, you know, the protests and the virus and the looting and stuff like that. It's just made me think of them. And then, as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, every day I have iced tea. And because of the flies that I've mentioned, and touch wood, they've been pretty decent, meaning non-existent over the last few days. And it's not to say that, you know, every once in a while you feel one fly near you or crawl on you or whatever, but it's nowhere near what it was a couple of weeks ago. And even last week we had, you know, we had a day or two where they were really bad. But every day I make iced tea. And usually the way it works is I, you know, in the morning when I'm eating breakfast, I boil enough water in the kettle to cover my tea for the morning. And I'm going to call it a cup of tea, but it's a 24-ounce mug. You call it that, you know, a lot of people would call that 3 cups of tea. Most days it's green tea. Some days it's black. Today it was black. And and that's maybe why I have a little bit of energy. And I also boil enough to cover my iced tea for that afternoon. It gives it time to cool down. And, you know, later in the day, once it's cool, you know, usually after lunch, I will, you know, then take that tea and, you know, do the lemons in the big teacup that iced tea mug that I have, which is a 59-ounce mug. Usually the amount of water I use is only, you know, about 32 ounces, a little more, a little less, probably a little less actually. And I just fill it with, give or take 21 ice cubes that we have. And, lately, over the last, I don't know, couple of weeks, after I get done squeezing the lemon through the strainer and I drop the seeds out into the trash, I then put the ice cubes in and then put the strainer on top and then pour the tea through the strainer. Why do I do that? Because over the last few weeks, more days than not, have had swimmers in the tea and in the form of the flies. And in fact, the other day, a few days ago, because again, they haven't been terribly bad over the last couple of days. In fact, zero yesterday and zero the day before. So, two days ago, there was one that was still alive. So he was able to tread water or tread tea, and I guess the caffeine in it kept them going. So I've been filtering out the flies with the thing that filters out the lemon seeds and the pulp. And not that I want to keep the pulp out, but I need to keep the seeds out. So it reminds me of my dad, and I think of him when I do that, and it makes me smile and sometimes laugh depending on how many bugs are in it. If I haven't mentioned, and I think I have, my dad was a prisoner of war. After his plane was shot down, he was a tail gunner on mostly B-17s, but other aircraft towards the end. I don't remember. I believe what he got shot down on was a B-17. Shot down over Quedlinburg, Germany, and he was a POW for 13 months. He was shot down in May of 1944, which I believe is right before D-Day, and then his camp was liberated by the Russians in, I want to say, June of 1945. I should have looked it up. And by looking it up, meaning go back and, you know, there were some blog posts from back in the day that I did about him. And, you know, and he used to tell me, as I said, he used to tell me all sorts of stories. You know, some were about, you know, different missions, and everybody loved to hear those stories. And, you know, the sad thing, as I've mentioned before, he never wanted to talk to someone. If you called him and said, hey, could you tell me about your wartime? Could you tell me some wartime stories? He'd be happy to tell you. If somebody said, hey, I'm writing a book about, you know, the Air Force or the 8th Air Force from, you know, could you tell me, I see you were in it, you're in Triangle U, this and that and the other. What can you tell me? Oh, no, I'm not interested in talking to you, he would tell them. He would tell anybody else. If they just said, hey, tell me some war stories, he had a million of them, of course, because, you know, he lived through it. And just like I have stories about, you know, incidents that happen when, you know, because I can't see or in general, you know, he had plenty of stories. He was on, they were required to do 25 missions. He was on his 24th. And that 24th mission lasted, like I said, about 13 months. So he used to tell the story when he was, when they would get food sometimes, you know, he would eat in the corner instead of in the middle of the room where most of the other guys would eat. And he would eat in the corner because there were bugs in the food. And he didn't want to see the bugs while he was eating. He just wanted to eat because he was hungry. And it certainly wasn't a lot of food. And so every day when I make my iced tea, I think of him. Every day when I see the run on different items in the supermarket, I think of him because, you know, how happy he would be when there was a, you know, talk about a snowstorm, especially one that was going to be a big one where you might not be able to get out for a few days. And, you know, it would be so busy in his stores or store, depending on the time. You know, my dad was he owned and operated supermarkets, but he didn't start until later in his life. He started once my uncle had died in 1970. So 50 years ago, my uncle died in, actually that anniversary is coming up, July, I think it's July 6th, 1970, my uncle died. And he helped my aunt run that store that my uncle owned and then ended up buying that store from her. And then she retired and, you know, moved to Florida. My uncle was older. My uncle was, I want to say about 13 or 14 years older than my dad. So that was where his start was. And he had actually owned a small little like corner grocery store years and years earlier, that he failed miserably at. And I guess that stopped him from trying again until this need happened back in 1970 when my uncle died. You know, my aunt needed help. She couldn't do it on her own. And once my dad had that store, and it's funny because where that store was, 52nd and Market Streets in Philadelphia, going into Philadelphia, sometimes I take the Market Frankford line, and that runs at that section of the city. It's an elevated, so it's the Market Frankford L there. So every time we go past there, I know that, I think of going into that store and, and think about, I used to go in there as a kid and they had this, where the quote unquote office was on top of a frozen box, meaning, and I don't remember if it was frozen food that went in there, if it was frozen meats. It was a box where frozen stuff was kept, but the ceiling in the market was high. So above that box, above that giant walk-in freezer, there was an area that they, they had, almost like fencing up, like, post and rail fencing. So you didn't walk off and fall, the 10 or 12 feet down. And there was a couple of lights and there were a couple of desks. It was wide open. So, we used to go when, on a Saturday, I'd go in with my dad and, we'd help one of the guys put some stuff on the shelf, but we loved hanging, having G.I. Joes do these missions over the top and down, when the guys would be wheeling the carts back in with empty boxes because they had just loaded the shelves up, we'd hang these G.I. Joes over the edge and, pretend they were climbing a mountain or whatever. And, and I think, that is an office, so noisy and not really climate controlled. So in the summer, it was pretty warm up there. In the winter, it was pretty cold up there because, the only air that was circulating were, a fan. And it was my my aunt's sister who was the bookkeeper, my Aunt Edie, who was married to my dad's brother, Herman. Was her sister Bess that was the bookkeeper. And so I liked to see her, especially in the summer when I would go in more often, I would, get to see her and talk to her. And it was nice. I liked her, and I liked my Aunt Edie's family. They were a lot of nice folks. But, thinking about all those different things, going into the markets with my dad and thinking about, like, again, when they called for snow and it was going to be busy, it was great for a day or two, depending on how far out they called for the snow. And, I think what my dad liked best was when they called for a lot of snow, but then it never materialized. So, maybe people had enough for a day or two. So maybe they didn't shop as often, the next day when maybe there was only an inch or two of snow and, they started, it didn't really hurt business for a while. And I just keep thinking about him with, the last, here in Pennsylvania, most retail stores, other than those quote unquote essential stores, essential businesses have been closed. So, the supermarkets have been open and supermarkets, it's again, a very different term now than, you can go to the CVS and get a lot of groceries. You can go to Target, where Jacob works and get groceries. You can go to BJ's or Costco or Sam's Club and get groceries, in varying sizes. And, none of them have had hand soap, by the way. It's kind of funny. We've been using the Target brand, which none of us are fans of. Not that the soap is terrible, although Liz and Jane don't like it. I just don't like the containers because the containers suck. Sometimes you can push them down and other times they don't go down easy and or nothing comes out. And again, when my hands are, in a lot of pain like they are today, it just makes it difficult. And, so there's many more places now to get groceries than there was back in the day when my dad was in business. And, and again, sometimes he had just the one store like he had when he had 52nd and Market. Other times, after he had that store for a while, he opened a couple more and he had a few in that section of Philadelphia in, that's considered West Philadelphia. go ahead and start singing the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme if you want. but he had, I think at the most in West Philly, I think he had three stores. And they were all, I don't want to say close, but, you know, they were in separate neighborhoods because, you know, what was happening at the time when my dad started, and I guess this is why he became as successful as he did, he ended up buying stores that the chain stores, and in this area, the chains at the time were A&P and Acme and Pathmark. Pathmark was never, I don't think, in the inner city. They had bigger stores. I mean, this store at 52nd and Market, it was tiny by today's comparison. You know, I want to say it was 15 or 18,000 square feet. You know, and I know that, you know, some, you know, inner city stores are smaller because of, you know, space. But, you know, now, even now, they're, you know, there's stores that are in town, you know, that are comparable to the ones in the suburbs. I don't think there's places like a Wegmans or, you know, those huge stores where they're 90,000 square feet. But, you know, I think you could probably find some, you know, close to 50,000 square feet, though I don't know for sure. But, you know, thinking of my dad with these stores and with, you know, the virus, again, it's been like a 3-month, you know, snow scare and people going in, you know, as Liz and I were talking, and I'm sure you find this the same in your house, you know, we used to look for deals on things. Now we're happy if we can just get it at any price. You know, we need, you know, we get paper towels and toilet paper from BJ's or Costco, depending on who has it. We try to stay on the brands we like, but there was, you know, going back a few months, there was one time they, you know, Liz was afraid we were going to run out. So she got, I don't remember if it was the BJ's brand or the Costco brand, of toilet paper because we just didn't know. And, fortunately we were able to get the kind we use, but, you know, now we're on our last, you know, down to our last, I don't know, like 6 rolls of paper towels. So when Liz goes to Costco and BJ, she's looking to see, hey, do they have the, you know, we like the Bounty Selecta size. And, you know, so with just about anything, you know, we're not looking at the price. Do they have it? Oh my God, they do. They have the soap. Let's get it. Or, oh, they have this. Let's get it. You know, it doesn't matter that we don't have a coupon. And some stores are taking, I don't want to say taking advantage of it, but, you know, the soap that we love are from the ones from Bath and Body Works, the foaming kind. And, you know, they've had a quote unquote deal, but it's nowhere near the typical deals that we usually buy the soap at and stock up. And even though they have the deal, they're certainly not offering free freight because none of their stores in this area are open yet. Now they may be open in Delaware because most of Delaware's retail stores opened up. And as I mentioned before, we're in southeastern Pennsylvania, not far from Delaware. So, you know, we can go down to Delaware now that the state has allowed us to go back in, you know, so we can go down there. But, you know, and that's what we found where, you know, people aren't worried about saving the money on the food. They just want to get it, whether it's meat and the price of that, that is now kind of crazy or other things. And for a while there weren't even circulars going out, you know, the ads that come each week, you know, usually with a bunch of ads together. In our area, they come on Thursday, usually. You know, so just thinking about that, you know, I don't remember how much my dad used to pay to send those out, but, you know, certain times of the year, they would send it to a wider area. And other times it would just be, you know, a small radius around the store, a mile or two from the store, depending on where the store was. Of course, the inner city, a mile or two, I doubt he did that. But, you know, stores in the suburbs, he owned a store in Chester, and he owned a store in Brookhaven. And Brookhaven, I know he sent out to a wider area. And then at one point, the last 4 stores he owned were in Delaware. And, you know, they were not in, several of them had Wilmington, Delaware addresses. But they weren't in Wilmington, in the inner city. They were, you know, around the edge of the city. And, you know, so there he would do a wider send out of these circulars. But, you know, that all costs money. And again, I don't know. I don't know that I ever knew. I was a kid in high school when he had those stores. So, you know, so thinking about him a lot between the flies and the supermarkets and him him giving my mom the what for. What do you think? You're going to go to the store and not be able to get it when he would bring home a case of this or a case of that. And, you know, and that may, of course, makes me think of her, you know, because he would say, oh, she would say, just order me a case. And then would get mad because, you know, one of the guys there, let's say the guy in the paper towel aisle didn't know that a case of the, I think we used Viva, and, you know, would put it out on the shelf. And so they'd have to order it the next week. And my mom would get so mad at it because, you know, we only have four rolls left. Or is it, you know, are they going to come in time? And, you know, and again, she, as I mentioned before, when I, in the Mother's Day episode, you know, we had a, we had like an 8-foot closet that had, you know, cases of stuff in there, and it was just hysterical. It always made me laugh because I'd, you know, my dad would bring it home and I'd have to put it on the shelves. And, you know, sometimes I would cut, I don't know if they still do this. There used to be displays we would make in the aisles, and sometimes, you know, you would just pack the cases on top of one another. And then the case that was on top, you would cut the top off and then cut the front in a certain way so you could see what the stuff was. Sometimes I'd cut it like that and just slip the whole case in there. And my dad would always laugh when I did that because, you know, he said, you don't need to do that here. You could just put it on. but it made him smile because he knew, you know, that yeah, at least I learned something at the markets when I didn't go to camp that summer and I worked in the store, with some of the guys, mostly at the Chester stores where I worked, and I loved going there. And, you know, I'd work, you know, some of the aisles, the one guy that I mainly worked with, his name was Fred Rochester. And I loved working with him. He had a son, a few years younger than me, and we would get him some baseball gear when we would go to the Phillies games and stuff like that. But I liked Fred a lot. He was great at teaching me, and he was a good guy. So he taught me a lot of things. And that was back in the day when you still had the ink pricers, meaning not even the labels. I'm talking about the thing you would spin these dials. It was a metal, I don't remember the brand, but it was a metal thing, kind of like if you were plunging if you have a plunger for your sink, not the toilet one with the long pole, but the ones for the sink where you has the handle on it. You would quickly put the price on and then go down and it would be written in ink on the actual, let's say, can of tuna fish. We used labeling guns for things like candy and stuff like that. But anything that was a can, it was a lot faster and easier to use the ink pricing gun. I don't want to call it a gun because it wasn't really a gun. The label gun looked more like a gun. And I'm sorry if you have a thing against guns, but they really look like a gun. And that's what they were called, price guns, label guns. So it was, you know, just thinking back to the different Father's Day things that we would do, and thinking back, as I mentioned, my first Father's Day without my dad was, you know, I don't want to say it was surreal, but, in Jewish tradition, after someone dies, you do something called sitting Shiva. And the last Shiva for that, for him, was actually that day, was Father's Day. So I think back to that. And then I think back to the Father's Day the year before, which was the last one that, you know, I had with him. And we had gone out to Ruby's Diner, and there's a picture that we took, in the booth that we were sitting in. I sat next to him, and, you know, Ruby's Diner, as you know, is not a fancy place, but my parents liked it because, you know, they had stuff that they would both eat. You know, my mom was, you know, pretty particular, to say the least, about food. And as my dad would say, even when things were bad, he would always say, it's better than prison camp. And it would always make us laugh because then he would talk about the bugs in the food and whatnot. So it's kind of funny to think back to those days, both those days, the one at Ruby's Diner and then the one the next year without him. Liz and I have been talking about, you know, obviously we go visit, you know, on Mother's Day, we visited my mom's grave, and, you know, since she's right next to my dad, we visited him as well. And next to them, actually, there's a plot of four, in the cemetery in Brookhaven, which my dad always points out to me. I've been coming here since, 1922, not really 1922, but my grandmother is buried there. And she died in 1922 when he was 4. He didn't start going there until he was around 8 or 10 years old, because at the beginning they just told my dad that, his mom had gone to New York on business. So he likes to say he's been walking down that road since it was a dirt road, and there was a trolley down this, the road called Edgemont Avenue, and the last stop was right there at what is now Brookhaven Road. So it's kind of funny to think of that. And, in the four plots in Brookhaven where my dad and mom are buried, right next to them is Edie and Herman, which, I may have mentioned in the past as, there's a multiple of 7, from when the one died to the next. Herman died in 70. My Aunt Edie died in 98, 28 years. Then my dad died in 2012, 14 years. And then my mom died in 2019, which was 7 years, just kind of weird. But what I wanted to get at and ask you, when you visit your mother or father's grave or another relative or friend, do you ever bring anything? In Jewish tradition, they have these buckets, and they have, a stone to show that you were there. And you place this little stone, a little bit bigger than a pebble, but you place it on the tombstone, certainly not on the grass, because then they'd get kicked up when they cut the grass, I'm guessing. And my parents, the headstone, which is fairly big, I want to say maybe it's, 3.5 or so feet wide, and there's a lot of stones on there. We started this when Liz's father died, after the, I guess it was the first year. Liz's dad, Vincent, loved Perkins Restaurant. And so after the service, after his funeral, that was where we went and had the post-funeral meal. Just like with my mom, we went to P.F. Chang's because that was one of her favorite places at the end. But on the first anniversary of his death, we took Vincent. He loved this, I think it's called Twinberry syrup. Liz got some, on the side, and we got it to go container. We took some, and he loved it. So, that's what we did. And so each year, depending, whether it was the, anniversary of the death, now I think we kind of just do it for Father's Day. Although, on the anniversary of my dad's death last week, we did take over some Hershey nugget, because he loved chocolate. And but it's weird, right? I mean, I'd like to know your thoughts, and if you do weird stuff like that. Liz's dad also loved fruit slices, the things that look like, half a lemon or half an orange, slice, usually found in like a department store candy counter, or bulk foods at a supermarket. We would get him one and take it over and leave it there. So for Father's Day, I'm not sure what we're getting for Vincent. For my dad, Liz bought, my dad, especially the last few years, loved Whoppers, those malted milk balls. He loved them and would go through them like you wouldn't believe. And we would buy them at Target every couple of weeks. And they were in a big thing that looked like a milk container. So we're going to take those over to my dad and put a couple down for him. And I know I mentioned, at my mom's funeral, we thought, what could we throw in for my mom that would be something that really spoke about main things that she did while she was alive. We certainly weren't going to throw a TV remote control in there. That would be silly. And then we thought, well, she loved to read and she read a lot, but towards the end, it got hard for her to read between the arthritis in her hands, and her vision started to go a little towards the end. So she didn't read as much. There was one constant throughout the years of my life with my mom, and it was coffee. So we thought, oh, you know what? We'll open some coffee pods and we'll sprinkle the coffee in. I mean, it's not really that different from the dirt. So we did that. So is that weird, doing all that? you know, I'd love to know what you think. Again, 646-926-6350. You can also email me if you don't want to leave a voice message. And you have 3 minutes, by the way. 646-926-6350. And let me know. You can also email me, icancuepodcast@gmail.com, icantcupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 letters long. Yeah, so I'd love to know what you think. And if you have ideas for other shows, I'm hoping to have a guest next week. I'm not going to say who it is in case it does not happen, but I'm hoping to have a guest because I know typically folks enjoy those more than me just rambling on for the time that I do. And I do appreciate you joining me today. And if you would, I don't want to forget to mention, if you're shopping at Amazon, please, I'd appreciate it if you used one of the links on the website, icancu.com. And, you know, or if you're just going to Amazon, you think, oh, I want to get something, but oh, Dave said I could get something. He can get a little commission if I go through his link. And if you want to do that, that's easy also. Just enter icancu.com/Amazon in any web browser, and you will be taken to the Amazon homepage, and then you can place your order. And like I said, you know, qualifying purchases get a little commission for all of us here, for Liz and the kids who are all still living here under the same roof. It doesn't look like Jane's heading back anytime soon, although in a couple of weeks we are going to New York because she is moving from one apartment to another. I'm wondering if she'll ever even get to live in that other apartment, so we'll see. The lease runs through January. So hopefully she does get back up there because it's a nice little apartment. And, you know, I hope we're not paying to move her for nothing. So we're a little nervous about going into the city, but hopefully things will be all right. And, you know, I'll have a podcast episode about it in a couple of weeks after that. Again, that's the 30th of June and 1st of July. We will be up there staying overnight. And again, I do appreciate you listening and putting up with me. And I hope, if you're a dad, I hope you have a happy Father's Day. I hope you get something cool or something you want or something unexpected that you love. And I know if you're getting it from your kids, you're going to love it no matter what. And again, thanks for listening. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.